and welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and on April 30th of this year, I died. It obviously didn't take, but I received CPR on the floor of a suburban hospital emergency room. So, David Morris, Executive Director of the Delaware American Heart Association, thank you for saving my life.
Laura, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you today.
Was that melodramatic?
No, not at all. Unfortunately, in this role, I hear too many stories like yours, but they don't have maybe the happy ending that yours did. So I'm glad to be speaking to you today.
Well, the awful thing is that when I woke up on that gurney on my way to the heart lab, the first thing I thought was, oh, I got to call David. This is going to be one damn good radio show. So we've done a lot of shows together over the years. And obviously, I listened to you. I happened to be in the emergency room when my incident occurred. But is my story typical, or am I one lucky SOB?
You're really lucky, to be honest with you, Laura. First off, I'm so happy to hear that our previous discussions maybe did play even a tiny factor in you still being with us today. We hear too many stories about, people going into sudden cardiac arrest or suffering a stroke at home and not recognizing the warning signs like you did. And not calling 911 or not getting to the hospital. So, to hear that we got through, even just to you, a lot of times when I do talk to you, I'm like, oh boy, if we can just get through to one person, if we can just save one life of all those folks that are out there listening or one family member, it's really worth it. And that's what it's about. And it's really pretty crazy that it was you, to be honest with you.
Well, to look at me, I look pretty darn good. Well, at least I did look pretty darn good. I mean, scrawny, I'm athletic, and I was at a theater when I started having issues with my arm. And it got progressively worse, and I said, we're going to an emergency room. And then that is what started my saga. That started my medical journey. We went to the emergency room where the attending said, she's a woman. She's having issues with her arm. I'm going to check her immediately. And she didn't even have the cuff around me before I keeled over in a rest. So there we go. Do you want to talk about women and heart attacks and stroke? Because again, when I walked in that emergency room, they didn't know which one I was possibly having.
Yeah. So, a lot of times, first off, heart disease, cardiovascular disease, number one cause of death around the world, in the United States, right here in Delaware, where I'm located. Stroke, number two cause of death around the world, number five in the United States, but it's actually number three in the state of Delaware. And oftentimes when people think about heart disease or stroke, they really think about old men, to be honest with you. But cardiovascular disease is by far the number one cause of death amongst women. It takes more lives than all forms of cancer combined. But the thing is that the warning signs for women are different. Now, I think from talking to you, maybe you can explain in a minute, what sort of symptoms you felt and what, drove, really led you to go to the hospital. But a lot of times it is vastly different. It's not that typical chest pain that men experience. Now, the arm pain, that's sort of typical, I would say. But a lot of times women get pain in their jaws. They have back pain, profuse sweating, nausea. In fact, my mother suffered a similar cardiac event to you. And, she thought she had the flu. And luckily, she called my father, who was a little worried about her, but he called my sister just to explain. And my sister said, I think mom's having a heart attack. And luckily, now, of course, my mother drove herself to the emergency room, which is something that's one mistake. And I think your spouse took you to the emergency room. I'll give you flack about that later. But we really, it's time to call 911, right? And for in terms of stroke, we talk about the fast warning signs. And we can talk more about this, but it's the face drooping, the arm weakness, the slurred speech, time to call 911. That's what the T is. So face, arm, speech, time to call 911. And, we see too many people Ignore those warning signs. Might stay through that show you were in at the theater or whatever, and never make it to the ER. So I'm glad you did.
I was kind of embarrassed to tell you that, yes, and it even gets worse. Not only did I get myself driven to the emergency room, I went emergency room shopping. It was a Saturday night, and I bypassed hospitals that were closer because I thought the emergency room is going to be overwhelmed. And will they take me seriously? Will they understand what's happening? Or will I even have enough time to get up to the head of the line? So we did. We went emergency room shopping and drove out into the suburbs.
Okay. To those
Bad
listening,
girl.
don't do that. Okay. Sorry, Laura. I don't mean to give you flack about this, but don't do that. When you, especially the reason we want people to call 911 is that cardiac arrest, cardiovascular disease, or stroke really is like one of, if not the top priority for emergency departments. So if you call 911 and they diagnose you as potentially having a cardiovascular event or stroke, they will contact the nearest emergency room and get them ready at the doors when they're arriving. Same thing for you though. You know, if by some chance a loved one is, please do not drive yourselves, by the way. Do not do what my mother did. I really gave her a lot about this. But you know, if you do get driven to the emergency room, once you tell them, I believe I may be experiencing a cardiac event or a stroke, they will drop everything that they have, much like that attending did, I believe, for you, and really address it right away. So don't worry about wait times. Don't worry about getting to the best possible location. Just get to the nearest emergency department if you don't, in fact, call 911 first. So don't ever worry to the listeners out there. Don't ever worry about that. Just get help right away.
All right.
Time is brain. Time is life for us.
Oh, go into that again, because you just said that wonderful line, time is brain, especially when we're talking about stroke. I went immediately into the heart lab first, and they eliminated a heart attack. I had not had one, and I was not having one. My heart is better than it deserves to be, considering the amount of fat and salt I pump into this body. But so then the next thing they thought was possibly a stroke. So talk about time and brain.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of you said it best, you know, time is brain, right? And the faster that you can get help in terms of a stroke, the better. Stroke is by far the leading cause of disability around the world and right here in the United States. And the way to have a better quality of life, and you know, some strokes, you can have a stroke and be great afterward. You know, maybe a little bit of rehab if you get the treatment that you need right away. The longer that you have a delay in care, the more that it is blocking the activity to your brain, which can cause long-term disability or even death. Unfortunately, here in the state of Delaware, we have the third worst mortality rate from stroke. And a lot of that is due to delays in care that people are doing. In fact, just recently, we, for the first time ever, crossed over 50% of stroke victims calling 911. And the thing is that the emergency technicians, they can actually recognize the type of stroke that you're having and actually get you to the right place for care. So, for example, there are, not to get too technical, but there are two types of stroke centers. Those that are primary and those that are comprehensive. A primary stroke center, they can recognize a stroke, they can treat it through medication, but they're not equipped to do intervention for you. Whereas a comprehensive stroke center, like our friends at ChristianaCare, they actually have the neurosurgeons that are able to go in and remove a clot in the brain, which is what a stroke would be. So, you know, the thing is that by calling 911 or even just getting to the closest emergency room as fast as possible, they can recognize what type of stroke it is and what type of treatment the patient needs and get them that help as quickly as possible. Because, like we said, time is brain. And the quicker that the stroke is cleared and taken care of, the less disability one will face.
Hey, if you're just joining us, this is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, David Morris, the Executive Director of the Delaware American Heart Association. Wherever you are, wherever you're hearing this, there is a heart association, a heart and stroke association. Let's make that clear. It's the American Heart and Stroke Association. As close as your smartphone or your laptop, find them at heart.org. You will be able to find the chapter that is the closest to you for amazing information, whether it be CPR classes, cooking information, tips on exercise, and ways to get involved and become more heart healthy and stroke aware. Go to heart.org wherever you happen to be hearing this. Can we talk a little bit about a stroke? Because as I mentioned, I was cleared. My heart is just the perfect little ticker. However, when I was taken in for my MRA, they discovered I had a brain aneurysm. It later turned out to be two, in fact, that had to be treated by a neurosurgeon. But again, that could have blown, and this would be a totally different story.
You know, I first want to say I'm not a doctor. So, you know, I just want to make that very clear. Typically, we leave this up to the physicians to really describe what's best happening. But you're right. You know, it really is a blockage in your vascular system, typically, you know, in your brain. And what that does is that cuts off circulation to the various parts of your body or your brain that really create motor function and lead through your life. This emergency department sounds like they did an amazing job. I'd love to hear more about, you know, what happened to you in the interluding hours and days. You know, they really, it sounds to me like they addressed it quickly as they could. And that's why I'm able to speak to you today, you know, because so many stroke victims, you know, whether it's they lose their life or even just their quality of life is so decreased, you know, they lose their ability to speak, to walk, to really function as normal human beings. And that puts a lot of stress on the family then, if they even have that support system. There's great rehabilitation all in the Delaware Valley in this local area that they can really help. But a lot of times, you know, it just leads to a decreased quality of life, you know, permanently. And the fact that you did the right thing, to a certain extent, Laura, got to the emergency room after your ER shopping that you said you did. You know, it sounds to me like the physicians there acted quickly and recognized what exactly was going on with your body. And that's why you're here today, really. So kudos to them.
Well, a little clarification. I did not have a stroke, but okay. I was a potential stroke.
Mm.
High blood pressure could have led to one of these blowing, or it could have just gone. And it was only because I was in the emergency room and they did the scan that they discovered that I had these two potentially life-threatening aneurysms on
wow.
a major artery. And so I scheduled surgery, went in, first one, and then had the second one repaired. But, you know, if I hadn't been healthy, that could have blown a long time ago. I was, you know, high blood pressure away from.
Yeah. Can I ask you a personal question, if it's okay?
Yes. I think we've established I'm an oversharer.
Do you suffer from hypertension? Do you
no.
have high blood pressure? Wow.
No, I do not.
How about cholesterol? Your numbers are good?
My numbers are good. So let's talk a little bit about then how lucky I was that I was healthy. Because yeah. here I had these two defects that if I hadn't practiced a fairly decent heart healthy and stroke healthy lifestyle, we would be yeah. having it. We wouldn't be having this conversation at all.
Yeah, that's true. So the American Heart and Stroke Association says that 80% of cardiovascular disease and stroke can be prevented through, we've actually updated it. It used to be this catchy term, Life Simple 7. We've actually updated it to Life's Essential 8 now, just in the last couple of days. Actually, this is hot off the presses. So, you know, like I said, 80% is preventable. And to me, it sounds like you were living a lot of the life's essential eight, Laura. And thank God you were. The other 20% that's not preventable is, based on our on factors we just can't control. Family history. So for me, cardiovascular disease and stroke run up and down my family tree. I need to be aware. And no matter, what I do, I still could potentially face a life-altering event. There's age, our ethnicity, things that factor in that we just can't control. But the good news is that 80% of that can be controlled. And you were doing a lot of that. It's about, knowing your numbers, controlling your cholesterol, hypertension. We talked briefly about that. That is the leading cause. That is the most preventable way to avoid cardiovascular disease or stroke. I'll tell you, and I think I've shared this before, Laura. I consider myself a pretty healthy person. I eat pretty good. I exercise regularly. Very active. I've got my smartwatch that yells at me right now to stand up. I really follow a lot of that stuff. But, due to my family history, I suffer from high blood pressure. In fact, mine was extremely dangerously high. And, one day just I was like, I need to live this mission that I'm talking about all the time. And I, started regularly checking my blood pressure, and it was extremely high. And I got with my primary care physician very quickly and got on some low dose of some, blood pressure medicine. And now I'm 120 over 80, which is right where you want to be. But you also want to watch what you eat, control your weight, get exercise, even if it's and we've talked about this before. You got to do something you love, maybe not even love, something you don't hate. How about that? Find a buddy. If you hate running, don't run. You really want to like do something that you're going to be able to stick with. You don't have to do a ton. 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, low impact is perfect. Take those dogs for a walk, go for a bike ride, go for a hike, go swimming. That's a really low impact way to keep your heart healthy. And really, and know your numbers. The newest addition to the Life's Essential Eight now is sleep. And that's one thing that during the pandemic, so many of us had our sleep schedules altered. And we continue to do that. I would say, here as in our country, we do not get the sleep that we need. And I'm guilty of that a lot of times too. The American Heart and Stroke Association recommends at least 7 hours of uninterrupted sleep a night. If you can do eight and you want to be an overachiever, that's even better for your heart and vascular system. I have a feeling, Laura, that that's maybe one of the eight that you maybe struggle with a little bit, if I'm just guessing, but that's a big one now for us.
I don't think I have had 8 straight hours of uninterrupted sleep since I was unconscious. I don't think I've ever, or I was a baby in the womb. I mean, seriously, I can't even imagine 8 hours. So sleep does have that kind of an impact on all the
It
rest.
does. Yeah, and like your vascular system, right? I mean, it sort of like allows your body to sort of almost like re-level set, let's say, while you're sleeping. So maybe that's one that you could work on a little bit. Maybe you were super tired. I don't know. Maybe you were super tired the day that you suffered this. But I will say the fact that, and here's the thing for the listeners out there, you don't have to do all eight. But try to do some, okay? Take it step by step. Maybe you can focus on your eating, your weight. Maybe it's your controlling, knowing your numbers. I would say if you're going to start with one, go see your primary care physician. Know your numbers. Hypertension is called the silent killer for a reason. Me personally, my blood pressure was up over 200 over 140, 130, pretty consistently, without my knowledge. So, I mean, really, like, that's the silent killer for a reason. And I was on a crash course for right where you were, for a cardiac event or a stroke. So the fact that we can really, like, if we can know our numbers, I would say start there. But really visit heart.org, as you mentioned before, Laura, and really look at Life's Essential Eight. It is all over that website. Just do a couple, even start small, right, folks? Let's avoid incidents like Laura experienced.
Let's talk about your mission then. Let's get into the mission of the American Heart and Stroke Association. I know that a lot of it is research and a lot of it is education, teaching us dum-dums, the people who aren't paying attention, like that sleep part. ER shopping. But I listened and I learned, I heard the part about fast, and I knew one of the symptoms of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So I'm going for any credit I can get on this one. But so talk about the mission and what are you trying to do? Is it prevention?
Yeah. So our mission is to be a relentless force for a world of longer, healthier lives. And that encompasses quite a bit, as you can imagine. Obviously you mentioned research first. We are a research-based organization, and we are investing in research all across the Delaware Valley. In fact, right here in Delaware, we have over $1 million invested in research right here alone at the University of Delaware. And much of that is around stroke rehabilitation, women's heart health, the ties between menopause and premenopause, and cardiovascular disease and stroke. We work with youth market programs with children to learn about, don't smoke. And that's one of the life's essential eight too. Don't smoke. Smoking is still a big deal for us here, in vaping too in the United States. But we work with children on how to eat healthy, how to get physical, don't smoke, how to live longer lives, because it can start young. Cardiovascular disease and stroke can start young. In fact, we're hearing about more children now that are hypertensive or prehypertensive. So, we also work with the community on education. We partner with all the healthcare systems. We have a presence in, really, you mentioned it before, anybody, anywhere listening to this program can visit heart.org and you can connect with us. So many of us, whether it's us personally or our loved ones or our colleagues or our friends, have been affected by heart disease or stroke. So you can really visit heart.org and get connected with us. Maybe you partner with us on a Go Red for Women event or a STEM Goes Red event or a heart walk, and you walk in memory or in honor of a loved one or yourself. There's so many different ways that people can connect with us all over the country. So we're everywhere and we need your help. We are a volunteer driven organization. We need everybody's help out there. We're not going to fight this fight just on our own with people that have heart, American Heart Association on our business cards. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take people like you, Laura, like spreading this message. So thank you.
Before we get into how we can volunteer, when we go to heart.org, what do we find? Especially if you're hearing this and you're a distance from an emergency room, so many people are not close enough to a stroke, a primary or a comprehensive center. Or hours away. So prevention is so vital for a lot of us.
Yeah. So I would say, on heart.org, like you said before, there's so much great information. There's healthy living information, there's news, there's great stuff. And this is all free, by the way, folks out there. It is an amazing resource. Granted, I work here, but not a day goes by that I don't visit heart.org and find something new on there. There's ways to connect with us. There's ways to volunteer. There's special events in the area. Like you said, there's information on CPR training. Great information for companies and employee wellness. We have this amazing workplace health program that companies can participate in, and it's all free. There's free information for everyone out there. So you can really, let's say you're someone working in HR or wellness for a company, or even not. Maybe you're just an employee that care a lot about heart disease and stroke, or you want to prevent it at your workplace, because over 90% of heart disease, cardiovascular events, and stroke happen outside of an emergency room, right? So this is the places where we work, live, and play, right? So there is great information. Maybe it's once a month in your newsletter for your company, you put a little article about, CPR training or reducing your blood pressure or a healthy recipe or something. There are amazing resources on it. Please join us. Also follow us on social. That's just a nice little easy way. We're all on social media now, I'm sure. And it's a great way to get information too.
Let's talk then about some of your upcoming events in this area, in this region, because of course a big fundraiser. Obviously, if you would like to volunteer, go to your website, just go to your local chapter and sign up. They can use you in some fashion or another, including the heart walks. And believe it or not, it is getting closer and closer to those.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for mentioning that, Laura. So this is like a free, fun way to engage yourself, your company, your family, your friends. Here in Delaware, I'll just talk about Delaware first. We have our Wilmington Heart Walk. That's on October 9th at the Tubman Garrett Park on the riverfront. It is a beautiful location. We have great information, bands. There's a 5K route that you can walk or run. Some people like to run it. They're, you know, overachievers, let's say. We got the, you know, there's a survivor loop that's really a mile long. That's really great for survivors. It's a great way for the community to come together in Wilmington and Delaware on October 9th. We also have our Southern Delaware Heart Walk. If you're down at the beaches or maybe in Kent or Sussex County, on November 6th, that's at the Rehoboth Beach Bandstand. That is a beautiful place to come out with the community, engage with others, and really honor those loved ones or that we've lost or that are survivors. For the Philadelphia audience, we have our Philadelphia Heart Walk. This one's awesome. It's on November 5th at Citizens Bank Park. The Heart Walk is at Citizens Bank Park where the Phillies play. Again, this is free to join. You can always contribute and make a gift or start a team. Super fun. Join us in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park on November 5th. And then for our friends in Southern New Jersey, we have the Southern New Jersey Heart Walk. It's on October 22nd at the Riverwinds Community Center, and that's in West Deptford. Come on out if you're out in Jersey and join us. And really, this is a great time. You will not regret it. I promise you. My kids, you can bring the whole family. You can bring your pets. My kids ask me year round, Dad, when's the heart walks? I'm like, okay, guys, calm down. It's not for a couple of months, but we're going. Okay. So that's a really good way for people to get involved with us here just after the summer.
And obviously those are great fundraisers. You can form a team. You can walk as an individual, just make a donation, but you can also go and get great information. And I've got to plug something else that you've got coming up. And that is, the Delaware Stroke Summit, and this is the first one, right?
It's correct. So this is the first time, and I mentioned the, you know, some of the numbers on stroke. This is on September 10th. There's information on our website about where you can join. This is not just for healthcare professionals, which I think is the great part about it. Now, we are hosting it in conjunction with the EMS, the healthcare systems, the rehabilitation hospitals here in Delaware, but this is the first time that we're ever bringing the entire community together for education on stroke, and this is for everyone. So many of us out there have been impacted by stroke, whether it's ourselves or a loved one, or you are a professional in the field. We want you to come out and join us, learn more about stroke, what can be due to be treated about it, what it's like living long-term with stroke, and really hear from some of the experts in this field and others. It's completely free. We want you to come out and join us on that Saturday morning for a few hours and learn more about it and how we can really fight this thing in Delaware.
Well, you brought it home earlier when you said that 80% of these cardiac and vascular events are preventable. It's up to us to take charge. And an easy way to start is going to heart.org. You've got recipes there. There's exercise tips, information that can save your life. Heart.org, wherever you're hearing this, you'll find the chapter that is closest to you. That is heart.org. And follow them on social media, of course, too. And you'll find out information there, too, about this coming fall's great heart walks. They're all over the place in Wilmington, South Delaware, Philadelphia, and Southern New Jersey. And, of course, the Delaware Stroke Summit coming up on September 10th. It's all available at heart.org. My savior, my guest today, David. Okay, that was too melodramatic. That one was over the top. David Morris, the Executive Director of the Delaware American Heart and Stroke Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. And I just want to say, you know, I really, when you called me to share your story with me, it really profoundly impacted me. I got very choked up just hearing about it. I am so, but it was like almost happy tears, to be honest with you, because you and all of our friends at sister stations, you guys are so amazing. You spread the word, and for you to even be willing to share your personal story as a survivor is really impactful, and it's amazing. And to be, I just want to thank you for being such a great champion in this fight against heart disease and stroke here in Delaware and across the entire Delaware Valley. So thank you.
Thank you, David. Again, go to heart.org. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.